Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish. IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 7:21. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning. Well, it's Dolly Parton's birthday today. We play Jolene. Janine says maybe Jolene was really a good person and didn't take the man. Janine, that's possible. But the other way to look at it is maybe that man wasn't worth taking. You know, he could have been this middle-aged, short, overweight, balding guy with crooked teeth who worked as a bank manager in some local town. Maybe he wasn't all that that Dolly cracked him up to be. Maybe Jolene wasn't interested in the first place. Ever thought about that? There's a story, we just don't know how that ends. Dr. Carl, good morning. How are you? You're a scientist.
Good morning, Dr.
Howell. Do you know if there's an end to that story with Jolene? Did she ever take her man?
I hadn't really thought of Dolly Parton as a serious, wonderful or deep singer. And then a friend of mine convinced me to go to a concert and there she was. And I was just blown away by her voice and her skill and her artistry. And then when I found out that she actually wrote her own music, I knew that I had been wrong and I was in the presence of a goddess. What the words mean, it is not for a mere mortal like me to tell. We'll have to ask the goddess herself.
We really should, because I too am a great, great fan. As I said a little bit earlier, my favorite quote, find out who you are and then do it on a purpose. All right, Dr. Cobb, before we get to some of the other questions, we do have some questions for you from listeners. Mark says, question for Dr. Carl, why do mosquito bites itch so much?
They inject their proboscis into the skin, and it's not as though it's just a straight, sterile steel needle. In fact, they also inject other chemicals to keep the blood flowing. So it's the female mosquito, not the male, the female mosquito who bites you to get blood, which has protein. Mm. She wants the protein for her babies. And she wants the blood to keep on flowing. And so she injects chemicals in there. And then why does it cause an itch? It's just an unfortunate accident. Now, with regard to itches, firstly, we only discovered the nerve for itches a few decades ago. And we know that some forms of itch are caused by chemicals called histamines, which are released by cells in your immune system called mast cells. So for that sort of itch, you can take a chemical called an antihistamine and it will work. But there are other forms of itch and the antihistamines don't work. And there was a terrible case, and this is getting a little bit scary here. You ready for it, Dr. Howard?
I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
There was a young woman who had an itch on her scalp and she scratched herself bald and then a hole in the scalp, and then with the fingernails, a hole in the skull until she actually got to the brain.
Oh my word.
And that's how bad an itch can be. We do not understand itches. So I'm sorry, Dr. Mark, I don't have a good answer for exactly the name of the chemicals that cause the itch. We know that they're there, but I don't know their name. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right, but what a crazy story. The other one that we wanted to ask you is about antioxidants. Every second thing we're meant to drink or eat has antioxidants. What is that? Is that a real thing, or is that just a way to force us to drink things or buy things we didn't want to buy in the first place?
Both are true. Overwhelmingly, antioxidants as part of your food are a good thing, but antioxidants that are sold to you in a bottle are bad. Now, most people don't know, because they haven't studied chemistry or pathology or pharmacology or physiology, they don't know what oxidants are, but presumably they're bad, because oxidants must be good because they sell them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that you find antioxidants in the yellow vegetables, such as the carrots and the pumpkins. And a study was done looking at a whole bunch of people who had lung cancer. Now, there was a big sample size, like about 10,000. So we knew their ages and how many cigarettes they'd smoked and their genetic background. So we were able, or at least the authors of the study, they were able to predict what sort of life expectancy these people would have with lung cancer. And they put half of them onto a diet just loaded with natural antioxidants from food. And within a year or two, they started showing a greater life expectancy. And so, being reasonable people, the medical people running the study thought, well, if a little bit of antioxidant is good, then more would be better. So they started giving them antioxidants in tablet form, and they started dying sooner than their allocated predicted date. So don't take antioxidants in a bottle. Second study was done with the people at a gym, and they'd been divided into two groups, and they all were there every second day for a month, doing training under people who knew what they were. They took them through personally, and after each training session, half of them took antioxidant tablets and half did not. And the ones who took the antioxidant tablets, they did not put on any muscle. So do not get antioxidants except as part of a natural diet from your food. Don't take it in tablet form.
That is absolutely fascinating. So pleased that I asked you that question. All right, can we talk about in the U.S. parking meters, both in Austin and San Antonio in Texas, have been adorned with official-looking QR codes? Tell us about this. Is that the latest way to get to pay their parking time?
Yeah, so it turns out that in both those cities, the parking meters do not normally have a QR code, and normally they just accept payment by a coin or a card or a smartphone app. But if you see a QR code, you're thinking, okay, they've changed the system again. And so people go, okay, now I've got to scan it. And they would scan the QR code and then send some money off to somebody who was not the state council of Austin or San Antonio, and they had been ripped off. Oh, my God. So there you are, another way to scan people. How naughty is that?
Funny. I mean, we shouldn't be laughing at stories like that. We should be outraged and horrified. But it is kind of funny in a way, isn't it?
It is, and we should know to not get fooled. You've been told about it. It is a shame that people are using technology to rip other people off. I like to think that more people, however, are using technology to help their fellow friends.
Yes, exactly. We like that. 40% of all shipping tonnages is using fossil fuel. Tell us about the latest here.
That is amazing. So we've got about 2 billion tons of shipping going across the oceans each year, and the shipping generates about 2.5% of all global greenhouse emissions, plus the fuel they burn is absolute rubbish. It's not a liquid fuel. It's the stuff left over from refining after they start off with oil and they pull out the kerosene and the engine oil and the diesel and the petrol. And then finally they're left with this sludge. It's not even a liquid. It's just like a solid sludge loaded with sulfur. And they burn it in the engines of these big diesel ships, the big carrying ships, and they have to heat it up, and it just pollutes the air with solid, with lots of carbon, sulfur dioxide, which is the sulfuric acid. So it's not a good thing. So it turns out that about 40% of all of the shipping cargo is just shifting fossil fuels from here to there. Oil or coal or natural gas or petrol. So we could reduce our shipping by 40% if we just went with a totally renewable economy.
Absolutely incredible. It is 7:29, about to go 7:30. Dr. Cole, thank you. As always, it is a great treat to speak to you and to learn some things from you every Wednesday morning.